Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Tea Time with Tara. I'm your host, Tara, and today we are revisiting a topic that is very near and dear to my heart. It is the topic of ADHD. I decided that because it is ADHD Awareness Month in October, as well as the fact that my podcast turns 1 year old in October, that it would be the perfect time to take a walk down memory lane and see how far I have come with my ADHD journey, as well as to talk about a few other things related to ADHD. So, first and foremost, I think that ADHD is something that comes up very often in my podcast, just kind of by luck. There are so many people that I end up connecting with who have ADHD, and it's just a part of obviously my everyday life. And so I do think that as my podcast has grown and evolved, that this is definitely a topic that I want to delve more deeply into in more detail. So we are going to touch on a few things, and I will kind of unpack that as we go through this episode. My plan is to just kind of rehash all the things that I talked about last year following my diagnosis. Obviously, there is somebody missing from this episode. My AI co-host, Alexa, will not be joining us. I felt like that was my first episode. I really didn't know what the hell I was doing, and I thought it might be a fun way to have some sort of interaction or banter. And this time, I do want to take this a little bit more seriously. I do feel like my interactions with Alexa were a little cheesy. I don't know about you guys. Maybe you like them, and I appreciate that if you do. But this time, I just kind of have notes to keep me on track, and hopefully this flows a little bit better, so we're just going to see how it goes. I did take my Adderall, but I don't know if it's kicked in yet, so buckle up, guys. In that very first episode of Tea Time with Tara, I spoke candidly about my life with attention deficit disorder, aka ADHD. Now, just a little sidebar here, when talking about attention deficit disorder, I was reading an article doing a little bit of research for this episode, and when the word deficit came up in the context that it came up in, it kind of stung a little. So I am going to talk a little bit about that because I don't feel necessarily like there is a deficit of attention. I think that more than anything, it is just an inability to focus. So like a million and one things have my attention, but that's just my experience. So now it's been about a year and a half since I was diagnosed with ADHD, and I delved into my struggles with anxiety, PTSD, and ADHD, and how these conditions have been both a challenge and a learning curve for me. So from navigating the medications to finding therapy, it was all about coming to terms with the fact that my brain works differently and that that's okay. I touched on how ADHD is often a family affair, affecting not only me, but also my siblings and my son. The focus was really on empowering each of us to seek help, ask for accommodations, and embrace our unique ways of being. On this episode, I really want to highlight first and foremost why ADHD Awareness Month is important. ADHD Awareness Month serves multiple critical purposes, both for those who have ADHD and for the broader public. First is education for the general public. For people without ADHD, this month is a platform to educate them about what ADHD truly is, dispelling the myths and misconceptions that often cloud the disorder. And for those who are diagnosed, there can be varying levels of understanding about their condition. ADHD Awareness Month provides updated research, tools, and coping strategies. I feel like I am always learning new things about ADHD, and this month kind of highlights it and brings it all to the forefront. Destigmatization is another really important cause for ADHD Awareness Month. This month encourages frank discussions about the disorder, which helps to normalize the condition and reduce the associated stigmas. It's also a time where advocates for ADHD can work collectively to bring about policy changes or request for more substantial support at educational and work institutions. Community building is another really important aspect, so whether it's online or in person, events surrounding ADHD Awareness Month can connect individuals who have ADHD along with their families, creating a supportive community. Personal stories like the ones I share or the ones that some of my guests or even my listeners who share their comments can be particularly empowering during this month as they offer relatable experiences and advice. I know for me, anytime that I see something about ADHD and I relate to, it really does feel very validating and like, you know, I'm less alone and oh, it's not just me. So that's always a really nice little part of sharing these stories. As for the final reason why I feel that ADHD Awareness Month is so important, it is a great time for resource compilation. So during this month, organizations often release articles, podcasts, webinars, and other resources that are invaluable year-round, as well as it being an excellent time for therapists, coaches, and other professionals in the mental health space to offer specialized support or programs aimed at coping with ADHD. And those are some of the reasons why I believe that ADHD Awareness Month is so important. Now on to the update for me, my little progress report. I am still taking Adderall. It is extremely helpful for when I need to focus, especially on undesirable tasks, as long as I have reminders to keep me on track so I don't wind up losing track of time or focusing on the wrong things, because unfortunately, it does not really help with the hyper-focus part of it. That's just kind of something that you have to have tools in place, I feel like. Maybe there are other people who have a different experience, but that is definitely my experience. I have still lost full days of productivity by not having a plan in place for what I am going to be doing when I take my medication. Unfortunately, in October of 2022, so right around the time that I released this episode, as well as right around the time that I was actually prescribed with Adderall, the FDA announced an Adderall shortage. This means that there have been many times where I have had to wait several weeks up to and over a month to get my medication. So I have started to ration it out, and I know that other people who are on Adderall have also started to ration it out. So I will take it only on weekdays when I'm working or when I know that I really need to focus and get something done. And this way, I have a little bit left over at the end of the month while I am waiting for my refill so that I do not run out of my medication. This has affected other people. Like I said, I know that there are other people who are rationing out their meds. Unfortunately, the other part of this is that because people are struggling to get their Adderall, a lot of people have tried different medications, and that means that because of so many people changing to different medications, it has resulted in shortages of these other medications due to the unexpected higher demand for those meds. It seems like there is some debate on who's responsible, but the manufacturers and the FDA need to figure it out so that people don't have to go without their medication, because being without ADHD meds can be extremely anxiety inducing. It can be extremely stressful. It can be debilitating, to be completely honest with you. I definitely struggle with my day to day when I don't have my meds because I need that little boost to get shit done. On the topic of anxiety, my anxiety has gotten significantly better. I am no longer on anxiety medication. It's been about 6 months since I have gotten off of the meds. I do believe that a lot of it has to do with managing my ADHD symptoms a whole lot better, just really focusing on my mental health, my physical wellness as well. I still have some pretty extreme bouts of anxiety, but instead of it being something that lasts days, weeks, or months, it'll be like I'm having a really bad anxiety day or a very specific anxiety-inducing event occurs. So it is a lot more manageable. It has recently ramped up a little bit because I have a new job, and so I am struggling a little bit with imposter syndrome, which is something that a lot of people with ADHD, but also people without ADHD, can struggle with. Essentially, it's feeling so insecure about your capabilities and accomplishments that you actually struggle to allow yourself to enjoy your wins in life. It's something that I will definitely be talking about on a future episode because there is so much to unpack there with imposter syndrome and what that experience can be like. I experience it personally, obviously, like I said, with my new job and just feeling like I'm not good enough. I'm never good enough. Yeah, I do feel like it's something that a lot of people that I know can probably also relate to. So stay on the lookout for that. Moving on though, about my new job really quick. My new job is hybrid. My boss is really flexible. The company that I work for is pretty flexible. I did just start out, but I feel so much happier. The culture is better. It's really been a game changer for my mental health. I feel like right here is the perfect spot for me to really emphasize how important it is to enjoy what you're doing for the sake of your mental health. Even if your job is stressful or challenging, there is a level of that can kind of be exciting, at least for people like me. I enjoy the challenge. I enjoy that little bit of stress every now and then because it gives me this sense of purpose. So it's not always necessarily a bad thing, but I do believe that there has to be a balance. And if you really cannot stand what you're doing and you have this sense of dread going into your workday, I really, really strongly recommend looking into ways that you can balance things out a little bit better. Seek help, seek support, see if you can change jobs, change careers. I was really in the mindset earlier this year of I have to completely get out of this industry, and I no longer feel that way. I do really feel like it is a work culture thing that can make a big difference. So there are plenty of resources out there. There are plenty of career coaches. I am in touch with quite a few of them. So if you need any advice on how to connect with those people, please reach out to me. I will get you in touch with the right person. I do still see my therapist. However, I don't see her as frequently. I feel like now that my life has improved in general with my physical health, my mental health, and all of the things, I'm not feeling the need to have that extra support. However, I might choose to see her more frequently again in the future as life ebbs and flows. I feel like it's really important for us to know that going to therapy is a perfectly normal and okay thing to do. There's nothing wrong with feeling like you need a little bit of extra support in life every now and then. Obviously, ADHD affects my day-to-day life quite a bit. However, I have noticed a huge difference when I don't take Adderall because I can very easily lose focus on what I am supposed to be doing and never really accomplish anything. I can get into a lot of things and kind of touch the surface of a lot of things, but never really complete a task. So now I have a routine in place where I drink my morning coffee. I take my extended release Adderall. So the coffee kind of gives me the little boost until the extended release Adderall kicks in, and then I am ready to focus on my day. Like I said earlier, taking Adderall really helps with getting going on the less desirable things because of that, part of the reason why people with ADHD struggle so much to do these less desirable things is because of that need for those dopamine rushes, right? Like we need a purpose almost in order to have that sense of motivation. There needs to be like some urgency or some joy that comes from it. And a lot of being an adult, a lot of being a responsible adult, I should say, is doing things that are a lot less desirable and a lot less fun. So taking Adderall for me really helps with that. I still do set timers to help me stay on task. I have an app that actually I can schedule out my entire day, like down to the minute. I've been trying to be a lot less strict with that because that can have the opposite effect and wind up leaving me feeling really overwhelmed with, oh my God, I have all of these things that I need to do, and this is all the time that I have in my day. So I kind of try to throw in the things that are really important. This way, I am still being productive, but not overwhelming myself and stressing myself out and getting that, like, stress paralysis that ends up happening. I also use my calendar pretty religiously. If somebody says, hey, do you want to hang out? Or hey, like, you want to go get coffee? Or earlier today, I was recording a podcast episode and it was kind of a spur of the moment thing where me and my friend were like, hey, we have this amount of time tomorrow, let's sit down and record together. So I had to immediately put that in my calendar. So that is still a thing. And it is such a game changer for me. I cannot express enough how much using technology to my advantage helps with just getting shit done. Cooking. I have an Alexa. Well, I have them all over my house, actually. And I know that I'm going to forget about the rice that I have cooking for 13 minutes. So I set a timer. I will have like three, four, five timers going, and you can actually name them all when you set them by voice. So it's not like you're like, oh, a timer's going off. What the hell was that for? Because technology is great and you can actually identify what they are when you're setting them. So I can talk a little bit more about how to use technology to your advantage with ADHD in a future episode. I, like I said, do plan on covering a lot more, but this is just kind of an overview and revisiting where I am at in my ADHD journey. One of the things is that I do still struggle with clutter. I have worked on significantly reducing the amount of clutter in my apartment. I have purged so much stuff. I do not like throwing things away. I donate, I sell, I give them away. Mostly I just have been donating and giving things away. Facebook is a really great place for that. In my community, there are a couple of Facebook pages that I can just post right online. Hey, I have these items, please send me a message if you want to pick them up, if you're interested. The Facebook Marketplace, of course, is another place where you can easily post stuff for people to locally pick it up. This way, it kind of takes out the stress of, oh, I have to ship it, blah, blah, blah. No, you just make sure that you set your shit right so that it is only for people to pick up locally and you can meet in a public place. That's also a very important tip. Or like I leave shit outside on my steps sometimes and I just don't meet the people. So that's a way that I have started to declutter. I am really working on having systems in places for things and having really organized spaces for things. If I am cramming shit in somewhere, that space is not working, and so I need to redo it. I am trying to get better about, okay, I am going to focus on this one area. I want this one area to be workable and doable and manageable, and then move on to the next space. So things are still very much in flux, but my life has been very much in flux over the last couple of years. So especially with kids, I feel like it's really easy to accumulate shit when they are growing and constantly outgrowing things, whether it's clothing or toys or shoes or whatever. But yeah, making sure that you have a special place for very important things. Like for me, right at my front door, there is a big coat rack with hooks. So I put my coat, my purse, and my car keys and house keys right there. I keep my car and house keys together, and they still have that air tag on them. It's been awesome. I also usually just have like a little purse slash fanny pack kind of a thing that I use. And I actually have I have an air tag inside of that. So if for whatever reason I can't find it, if I like ran inside and had to rush the little one to the bathroom or something and threw it somewhere and don't remember, or if I came home and had a little too many grown-up drinks and don't remember where I threw my shit, I can ping it from my iPhone. So it's a really handy thing to have. I do still keep a ton of eyeglasses kind of everywhere. I've been trying to get better about putting them away where they belong, but I had this cute little bench on my dining table that had like a little storage and just kind of had that be where I kept all my eyeglasses because I have a ton of them, and that broke. So I have to either fix it or figure out a new space or whatever. But anyway, I don't know why I'm telling you that. That's just my little non-important information tangent there. The glasses that I'm wearing right now are my current prescription. So all the other glasses that I have kind of lying around are older prescriptions. They get the job done in case of kind of an emergency. I've been really good about those systems, right? So I'm not going to take my glasses off unless I am getting in the shower, or unless I am going to bed, or unless I am going to be sitting in front of the computer for a couple of hours for work. So there are only a couple of places that my glasses normally are anymore, and that has also really helped. Not just kind of taking stuff off and throwing it all over the place. I can't express enough, I cannot emphasize enough how much having systems in place and having places for things is for people with ADHD. Another thing that I do just really want to mention quickly is, I know that I talked a lot about how much I hate folding laundry. That has not changed. My house, I think that is probably the biggest issue in my house, because if I was not constantly trying to do the laundry and fold the laundry, I would probably be able to manage everything else a whole lot better. I still really struggle with that, and that's a deficit that I know that I have. And so what I have decided to do is to, now that I have just started this new job and I am kind of getting my head back above the water after being sick earlier this year and not being able to work for most of the year, trying to find the space in my budget to pay somebody to come and help clean the house or come and help fold the laundry or even just do like a wash and fold. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what my needs are. But in the meantime, I am using other resources, which are my people. And so I have friends who will come over and hang out and just keep me company while I clean, because I just need that. That whole, what is it called? Body doubling. Body doubling, it really, really helps. It's not about, hey, I need you to come and help me clean. It's really just about, hey, can you keep me company while I clean? Because for whatever reason, having a person there helps to keep me on task. Like this past weekend, I was really sick after a really, really bad psoriatic arthritis flare up. And this flare up. And so my boyfriend came over and he spent a couple of hours. He kept me company, but he also actually cleaned, because he's wonderful. He totally didn't need to do that, but he cleaned up my whole kitchen, cleared off all the surfaces, and helped me feel a whole lot better about being in my space. And one really big thing about that is the people who care about you and who you should have in your life are the people who are not going to judge you because of what you are struggling with. They are not going to make you feel bad about the clutter or the mess or the overwhelm. I have had people, not just in my life personally, but I know other people who have struggled with the same kind of issues that I struggle with and had people make them feel really bad and like shame them or just say unkind things about it. And I realize now, especially now that I have people in my life who are so friggin' supportive, how big it is to have people in your life who are going to be supportive of you and are not going to shame you or judge you or make you feel bad because of what you're struggling with. They are going to encourage you and empower you and not make you feel any less than. So keep that in mind. So those resources, they don't necessarily have to be financial resources like paying somebody necessarily. It can really just be, I need somebody to hang out with my kid for a little bit while I focus on getting whatever done. And so you have a friend who wants to hang out with your kids. You have grandma or grandpa nearby who can hang out with the kids for a little bit while you do that. Whatever it takes, these people should not ever judge you. That is so important, okay? Don't forget it, please. Don't ever let anybody make you feel bad about being who you are and struggling with the shit that you struggle with. Off my soapbox. Sorry about that. I can't help it. It's just such a big thing and it really makes such a big difference in your mental health and your emotional well-being. So I'm still bad with replying to text messages. I'm still working on coming up with a system that works. Mainly, I'm just trying to mark things as unread and go back to them later. Like, I know that we're all kind of in the habit of, oh, I have a text message, oh, I have to look at it. But like, sometimes if it's not important and you are in the middle of something, it's okay to either text and say, hey, I'll get back to you, or hey, can you call me later about this, or whatever works for you. Or even if it's just setting a reminder to get back to that person or marking it as unread so you know that you have to get back to it later. Kind of whatever works for you, that's the approach that you should take. And it's probably going to take a little bit of experimenting. I feel like all of this is just about understanding the things that you struggle with and finding what works best for you. The one thing that I really want to go back to a little bit is just about opening up about ADHD and accepting that you are different and that's okay, and kind of coming to terms with that. That's been something that over the last year I've really worked on, and it has been life-changing. I am working on an episode where I talk about the power of self-acceptance, and so I will also be delving deeper into that at a later time. I know I keep like dropping these teasers. I have had so much on my plate. Things that I have ideas for, and just stuff that I want to share with you guys. And now that I am kind of getting into my routine with my new job, I have a lot more time to work with. And so I am going to be hopefully picking up more on getting episodes out to you guys a little more regularly. Back to it, focusing on accepting that you have ADHD and being open about it. I have learned, fuck what everybody else thinks. Like, for real, if you're not using it as an excuse and you are just being candid and open about it, then if people are going to judge you, they're going to judge you. They suck. Those people don't really matter. Like, honestly, even in the workplace, like, hey, I have ADHD and I really struggle with this. I'm going to need a little bit of extra support with XYZ. You're a human being. Everybody has their shit. You might find out that like your boss has ADHD. You might find out that your boss's sibling or kid has ADHD. It opens up these opportunities to connect with people too. So it is not a bad thing to be open about ADHD. It just helps people to understand that you are different and work with you and at least kind of understand you. With ADHD, the one thing that I know that I talked about a little bit before was interrupting conversations. And so that's something that I still do struggle with. And I think I'd like to think that I've gotten better at it. I know that I've definitely become a lot more tactful about it, or at least I hope so. I am much more polite when I catch myself doing it and say, hey, I'm so sorry to interrupt. Impulsive spending is still a challenge. That's something that I have also gotten better with, but it is still something that I constantly have to work on being even better with. So I do that more so by, like, let's say you enroll in a free trial on your phone with iPhone, because that's what I use. I don't know about Android phones or whatever, but you can actually, when you do like a free trial of something, just go right in and cancel your free trial right then and there, and you'll still have whatever that free trial is, you'll still have that for however long, and it's just not going to automatically renew. So I have kind of gotten into the habit of regularly checking my subscriptions, not at any particular interval, and I guess I could even be better by setting a reminder to check those subscriptions like monthly, but that's definitely saved me a good amount of money, because there are so many times in the past where I have said, oh, you know, I want to try out this app, and then I don't really use it and kind of forget about it and I just keep paying for it. Another helpful thing that I have done is to just, when I get emails for my Amazon subscribe and save, I actually will go in right then and there and just kind of double check and make sure that I don't need that stuff. And that's one of those things where, or whether or not I need that stuff rather. So like, it's an email reminder, and that's really easy to just leave as unread if I know that right now I don't have the time for it. So I will leave the email unread, and then, okay, you know, at the end of every day, I know, because I don't know if it's obsessive compulsive or what, because I don't know enough about that to really say, but I will say that it is definitely kind of like an anxiety thing or an obsessive thing, where I have to have my notifications read, my inbox has to be empty, all that kind of stuff. So it does force me to get tasks done by leaving them unread, because if I'm like, oh, can't do that, don't have time for that, that little notification reminder is going to make me crazy and I'm going to have to get it done, and it's going to force me to do it. Other ways are obviously just setting yourself reminders to follow up on it later, but you know, I've got my way, you might have your way. The point is that, back to it, you got to figure out what works best for you and just keep at it. The other thing is, like, it's nice to think about, yeah, I can get that right away. I can order this and it'll be here tomorrow. Or now Amazon can do same day delivery or like overnight for within a couple of hours, right? But unless it's really urgent, I am finding myself saying, no, you know what? I don't need that, and saving it for later. And every now and then I'll go through my saved for later, and most of the times I delete the stuff unless it's something that I really desperately need, or I know that it's within my budget to order it. I really have gotten a lot better about not doing that. So it takes a lot of practice and figuring out what works for you and what doesn't, and you'll get it right. And, you know, you just have to really keep yourself accountable. On the subject of shopping, I still mostly avoid a lot of the things that give me sensory overload. I have worked my way up to going to smaller grocery stores on my own because they are a little bit less overwhelming and intimidating. Like, I know that there are certain stores that are just smaller, so there's less space for people, and so fewer people go. Certain times of day, there will be fewer people. Certain stores have less chaotic and overwhelming parking lots. So those kinds of things are ways that I've kind of worked around it. But I do still order my groceries, because if it's not broken, why fix it? I'm going to be spending more money going to these smaller little stores because the prices are more expensive. So unless I really need something, I just have found, like, I really don't need to go. So the buddy system is still my primary source of support for when I really need to go and do something. I try to make sure I have a buddy and I get in there and I get out and I feel a lot less stressed about it. The last thing that I want to just touch on really quick, I did mention earlier about my boyfriend. So remember in that first episode where I said I approached a guy and told him that he looks like a douchebag? Well, it did actually work out because he is my boyfriend now for almost a year. I cannot emphasize enough how lucky I am, how, gosh, I want to gush all about him, but I will do my best not to just make this about how much I absolutely love my boyfriend, but I am so happy. I really feel like I have met my person, and it's kind of one of those things that when you know, you know. And ever since the day that I met him, I just felt like I needed to talk to him and I needed to get to know him. And here we are. I mean, it's no fucking fairy tale, but he is one of the best human beings I know. And the last thing that I'll just say is that I have never felt so loved and protected and supported by anybody in my entire life. And I want this kind of feeling for everybody, because my entire life I never felt like I was worthy. And knowing what I know now and being in the relationship that I am in now and figuring it out together and having a true partner has changed my perspective on so many things. And I want this for everybody, because everybody deserves to feel this good. And that's all I'm gonna say. That is enough of me gushing about how in love I am. If you guys want to see more, every now and then I'll post an Instagram story or something sweet about him on one of my posts, but that's that. I am in love, and it all started with me being awkward and rude, and it worked out. So don't give up, guys. Even us weirdos and assholes can find our person. That's it for the update. I do really quick want to highlight that my primary care doctor is the reason for me not just getting on ADHD meds, but she is also the reason that I finally, after 16 years of mystery illnesses, got my psoriatic arthritis diagnosis. And she is also the one who has encouraged me to follow up with a cardiologist after me having these unusual arrhythmias. And the good news is that my heart is working wonderfully, and that it is physically, structurally, there is nothing going on. It's just beating a little too fast and having a few blips. So I talk a little bit about that on my Instagram as well, but make sure that you talk to your doctors. Make sure that you have doctors who listen to you, because that has been the difference between me getting help and getting well and not. And so I would not be here today in the headspace that I am in without the support of my absolutely incredible primary care doctor. So if you are local to me in New Jersey, reach out to me. I will absolutely pass my doctor's information along to you, because she is fucking fantastic. As well as my rheumatologist. I love him. So if you need any recommendations for some doctors, hit me up. I'm happy to share. For the second part of this episode, I do want to quickly talk about how ADHD is a spectrum. So that means that ADHD is different for everyone. Hyperactive and impulsive type ADHD in adults may present as talking or humming songs to themselves, talking too much or being too loud, interrupting other people by finishing their sentences, blurting out answers, or even talking over them, intruding or butting into conversations or activities they're not involved in. Yes, all of that is me. difficulty waiting their turn or for cues in conversations. For inattentive type ADHD, it may involve forgetting to complete routine tasks like paying bills, buying groceries, or finishing chores, missing deadlines, forgetting meetings or appointments, difficulty concentrating during work or meetings, and needing to fidget or sip on a drink or chew gum or do something to remain focused, zoning out while other people speak or having trouble keeping up with uninteresting topics, losing your cell phone's keys, notes, wallets, whatever, placing items where they don't belong, like putting the milk in a cabinet or keys in the dishwasher, leaving things. I mean, I'm all of these things. So I am combined type, and pretty much everything that I just mentioned, I struggle with. And so it's a little chaotic here, but I'm figuring it out. And it's definitely getting better now that I have the awareness to know, like, this is what I'm working with. This is how my brain works. And so I need extra support or these systems in place or whatever. The other part that I do want to talk about is the intersectionality of ADHD and all the other hats that I wear, all the other parts of my identity. I am not just a woman with ADHD, but I am a single mom. So I, once again, have to remember that ADHD has its struggles, but it can also bring some unique strengths, such as creativity and enthusiasm. So I want to talk a little bit about the ways that ADHD affects me as a single parent. So time management is something that I struggle with. For me, I do find it hard to stick with schedules, so it does make everyday tasks like getting the kids ready for school or managing household chores a lot more stressful. I do that by, or I manage it better by having an actual schedule for myself. I am talking like wake up and have coffee, walk the dog, eat breakfast, get lunches ready. Like in my morning, I have to have that checklist of stuff to do because it is very easy for me to lose track of what I need to do and to get off of task. However, the challenge of time management can also be a strength because I am able to be more flexible and adapt more quickly to unexpected changes. So parenthood obviously can be really unpredictable, and it does help that I am kind of used to adapting to whatever comes my way. Struggles with time management are not necessarily always a bad thing. Organization, being organized, I talked about it already, keeping track of appointments, bills, school events, all the things. It can be very overwhelming, but I use tech tools and apps and reminders and all the things to help me manage my life, which also means that I carry those things into other parts of my life. So at work, I am the spreadsheet and like task list queen. It helps me to stay organized. It has been a game changer, or whatever the hell you want to call it. I am so organized in certain aspects of my life because I have been managing ADHD my entire life without even knowing that I was doing it. So it's kind of become my superpower that I'm really good at organizing events and tasks. Impulsivity is something that is an issue, as I talked about before. So sometimes making a decision at the spur of the moment can lead to challenges. However, impulsivity can also mean that you are a lot more fun with your kids. Your kids might enjoy that impulsivity. Really quick, want to go back to time management because time management, my teenage son gets very frustrated with me because he gets anxiety when things are not just so. And so with time management, a big thing for me is keeping my word, making sure that when I say I'm going to be there at a certain time, that I am there, making sure that when I say that something is going to get done at a certain time, that it gets done. And so using those tech tools, using those apps and those checklists and all those different things that I keep talking about have helped me to be more reliable. And that has improved my relationship with my son, because when I say, yeah, I'll be right there, I am right there. And that kind of shit matters, especially as a parent. Emotional regulation is huge. It is such a huge challenge for so many of us with ADHD. Managing our emotional responses during stressful parenting moments is really, really difficult. I feel like my worst parenting moments have always been, wow, I lost my cool because I was really stressed out and I might not have been so nice, or I might have yelled. And it sucks. It's hard not to beat myself up over it, but I am not a raving lunatic. I just kind of lose my shit sometimes, and then I say, oh, crap, I lost my shit. And I look at my kids and I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry. I should not have said that, or I should not have yelled at you, or I, you know, whatever the situation is. Like, that can also be a really good way to teach your kids about the fact that, number one, like, everybody fucks up. It's okay. Sometimes, like, we're gonna lose our cool. That's just kind of life. That happens. The important part is being accountable and working on doing better and being better, and making sure that when you do hurt the people that you love, that you actively acknowledge that and that you connect with them and see what they need from you afterwards. You know, they might need space. With my daughter, she really just wants a big hug. And so most of the time, she wants a mommy hug, and we talk it out and we talk about how she feels. And I, you know, I'm just doing the best I can. And I think that the more that we are honest and open about our own challenges, the better off our kids are going to be as a result of that. Multitasking. I feel like I'm always multitasking. I mean, I'll be cooking dinner and tidying up and God only knows what else. But I feel like I'm never really sitting down. And so that's just exhausting in general. However, multitasking can also be a superpower, because as a single parent especially, there is never enough time to do all the things that you need to do. So when you are used to multitasking, you're just kind of used to getting a lot of shit done all at once. And that's kind of awesome, right? Communication, talking with your kids or their teachers. Sometimes you go off topic and go off on tangents. Sometimes overshare a little bit too much. I was talking with another ADHD mom actually about this a little bit, and just kind of laughing at how we put ourselves into awkward situations sometimes. But a lot of times people really appreciate the perspective and how we are really passionate about things, or, you know, we look at the world differently. We see the world differently. We process the world differently. And so it can lead to really helpful conversations, really meaningful conversations, even though sometimes you fuck up a little bit, might go off topic, might say a little too much. Don't beat yourself up over it. It happens. That's just kind of who we are. And I think, I'd like to think anyway, that most people find it a little bit endearing and charming that we are the way that we are, and that we are this little quirky group of people who might not always say the right thing, but do everything with kindness. At least that's how I try to navigate the world. ADHD often comes with periods of hyperactivity followed by crashes. So just being consistent with parenting, it makes it really hard. I try to balance it out by knowing, okay, like, I have high energy at this time of day and I am going to crash at this time of day. And so I try to plan my day around that. This way I am my best self for my daughter and my son whenever they need me. You know, sometimes you got to kind of go with the flow and you figure it out. But for the most part, kind of knowing when you're at, when you hit your peaks and valleys of the day, that can really help with managing your time properly and making sure that you are giving your best to your kids and being the most productive or doing the most fun things when you know that you are going to have the energy to do it. Finally, my last little segment of this episode is the Q&A. I posted a few times on Instagram about getting some questions, getting some insights from people who have ADHD, just to talk about other people's experiences, because I, of course, can only speak on my own experiences. So I thought it would be interesting to share other people's experiences and maybe answer some questions. So I've got a few that I would like to get into. First up is a message that I got on Instagram from the lovely Becky, who I actually met randomly because she complimented me on my skin. I think that it was one of those things where I was talking to somebody and she, with her ADHD self, kind of blurted out, "Oh my God, your skin looks so amazing." So she like interjected into the conversation, which I was like, "Oh my God, I love you," first of all, because it's such a huge deal for me with someone who struggled with teen acne and was made fun of a lot because of my bad skin, for somebody to compliment me on my skin. So we wound up actually talking about skincare routines, and then we ran into each other again and talked about my podcast, and so now we have been pals ever since, and we send each other relatable shit on Instagram, and every time we run into each other, it's always a good time. Anyway, on that little tangent, she says, "Physically, always getting bruises and bumping into things or flailing my hands because I gesture too much and then I knock stuff over and break things." First of all, girl, yes, the bruises everywhere, because I feel like for me, I am constantly like walking to like my body is ahead of where my brain is or something. And so like, I'm like, I got to get there, but I'm not seeing all the obstacles in the way, and I'll like walk directly into something. And so my legs are very often also covered in bruises because of that. And what was the other thing? Oh, and gesturing too much and breaking things all the fucking time. I am the worst. It is like, I feel like every time it happens, I'm like, yep, here it is. There I go again, knocking something over because I was talking with my fucking hands. So you are not alone. It's definitely something that I relate to so much. It's like kind of par for the course at this point. I feel like my boyfriend actually will know to move things out of the way of where I'm swinging my hands when I'm talking now because of how many times I have knocked shit over. All right. So the other one was, she also said, mentally, aside from the typical stuff like being forgetful, even if you left yourself a note, it manifests in me being a detail-oriented person who can zero in on the minutiae of, I hope I said that right, of anything for an extended period of time, but really struggles to make big changes and overhaul parts of my life. So yes, the detail-oriented thing, I actually have made a whole career of detail-oriented things, working in quality in like pharma and those, I always want to say tangent, but they are parallel, you know what I mean. They're associated, closely related to or similar to pharma. Big tasks are daunting and I usually avoid them at all costs until a deadline. Girl, yes, same. It's almost like I'm not going to get it done until there's a fire under my ass that I have to, which is great when my job is like that, because my job is always like that now. And it makes me especially productive because it's always like, gotta get shit done, go. And then overall, it's a struggle and I feel like I'm never doing enough. Also, I don't know if this is ADHD, but I have a very strong inner monologue that sometimes is hard to tune out even if I'm with a group of people. LOL, hope this helps. So yes, the inner monologue. So actually, I feel like this is something that I don't know if it was like a meme or something that I saw, but yeah, I also have that inner monologue. I'm constantly actually talking to myself. Sometimes it comes out loud. I think that it's because we are always trying to regulate ourselves. At least this is my experience, where I'm like, okay, don't forget this. Or like, oh, that person said that, I need to remember this, I want to tell them this, but I don't want to interrupt. And so we're constantly kind of navigating the influx of thoughts and information and all the things. And I at least that's what I think that inner monologue is all about. But girl, yes, I relate to that so much. So thank you for that, Becky, because I feel like that was the most relatable. And I'll be honest, I just kind of grabbed them, threw them in my notes. So I am answering these as I'm reading them for the first time. What was the most surprising thing that you learned about ADHD after your diagnosis? Honestly, I would say everything. like the fact that ADHD affects every single part of my life, I think has been the most surprising part of it. Like, holy shit, this is why I am the way that I am. Because it's not just attention deficit, right? It is literally how my brain chemistry works, how I operate, how I navigate the world. And so that's been kind of mind-blowing. How do I handle the ADHD symptoms that interfere with my podcasting work? I would say that one of the biggest things I do now, I am reading from notes. And so I am just figuring it out as I go. I think that this year has been a really crazy year, so I haven't really been as consistent as I would like to be with the podcast in general. All the things that I do, like making notes and staying organized and staying on task, putting like, hey, I need to record the podcast. So I put that into my daily schedule. And if things get shifted around, okay, I'm going to be flexible with that. The podcast is not necessarily always the number one priority, but I always move it. I don't just take it off the list. Yeah, just kind of keeping it on my radar, making sure that I am on top of it by having those to-do lists, having these show notes instead of like full scripts helps. How has understanding your ADHD impacted your approach to relationships, both romantic and platonic? It's helped me to be more open and honest and realistic. I think that that's probably been the biggest thing, you know, like sharing with people, being more vulnerable. Hey, this is what I'm dealing with. Hey, this is what I'm struggling with. And it helps me to connect with people in a different way because it is automatically me being a little bit more vulnerable. And also, like when I'm learning something, I can say, hey, you know, I just learned this, and share it with somebody. And I don't know. I think as far as like my romantic relationships, well, I mean, I've been in a relationship with one person for most of this time, but previously I didn't really understand having like how ADHD affected my emotions. And after that last relationship, I really did, you know, this new relationship, even though it started very quickly after my last, it was very slow. And so that was a great thing because it wasn't like I was all consumed by this new relationship. It was like, okay, there's this new person in my life, and we have already established a friendship, and we're just kind of getting to know each other in this new way. And it was a really great opportunity to take the time to learn about myself and share about myself at the same time. I hope that answers the question. I think that it's kind of something that's got to be a continuous dialogue with the people that are in your life. So the last one is actually a message that I'm going to keep anonymous. It says, it is about sex and ADHD. So I'm going to just, you know, keep this private for that person. It says, I am 37, but I feel like I'm 27. So this is in regards to sex drive. Some people with ADHD actually struggle with either hypo or hypersexuality. So hypersexuality means that you have an unusually high sex drive, while hyposexuality is the opposite, meaning you have little to no interest in sexual activity at all. So for me, I would say it actually can be a struggle to struggle with hypersexuality. And so that's something that actually I am going to leave as a perfect segue into the next ADHD episode, where I am going to be unpacking even more about ADHD, including how it affects sexual behavior and sexuality. So I do have a couple of episodes coming between then. Both are crossovers with my incredibly smart, talented, and beautiful bestie, Kristen, of the Out Is Through podcast. So the first one is in honor of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, because October, in addition to being ADHD Awareness Month, is also Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And so we are going to be delving into the many faces of domestic violence. That's actually the episode that I was recording earlier today, and we are actually going to be picking up recording after this. So my day is jam-packed with podcast recording today. The second episode that we're going to be doing together is a Halloween special, and that is about the psychology behind serial killers that we are dropping on Halloween. So be on the lookout for that. In summary, I just want to say, don't be too hard on yourself. ADHD is something that we are all, I think, learning more and more about as time goes by. And the more you know, the better equipped you are to navigate the world. And so keep on learning, keep on being empathetic, not just to others, but to yourself. So if you don't have ADHD, just bear in mind that this is something that is really fucking hard. Our brains are constantly like, it's almost like we're fighting with ourselves. Like I said earlier about that, like, inner dialogue, where, I mean, the best way that I can describe it, and this is something that I was just talking about with another ADHD mom. She and I were talking about how we struggle and what that's been like our entire lives, and not realizing that we have ADHD until we're adults. And like being the kid in class who is like, okay, teacher asks a question. I know the answer. 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 I'm going to raise my hand. Raising my hand. Raising my hand. Teacher's going to call on me. I know the answer. I know the answer. Raising my hand. I know the answer. Teacher calls on somebody else. Okay, I still know the answer. I still know the answer. I still know the answer. Then the teacher calls on you. What was the question? Because the whole time you're focused on, I know the answer. Teacher's going to call on me. I know the answer. I know the answer. So that, in a nutshell, is kind of what it's like to have ADHD. One of the many ways that ADHD can kind of affect how we navigate the world. That's all for this ADHD and me update. I hope that this was helpful or entertaining or whatever. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please follow me on Instagram at teatime.tara. You will find all kinds of information about mental health, ADHD, psoriatic arthritis. I share informational memes and shit on my stories, as well as stupid, silly memes on my stories. I feel like I try to share whatever is relatable content, whether it relates to me or not. I do want to tease a little bit, because this is kind of a big deal. I have another podcast in the works, and so stay tuned for more information on that. I'll probably be dropping that in November, since we are already more than halfway through October and I have a couple more episodes to work on just for this month. So be on the lookout for new episodes. If you enjoyed this episode, please like it, subscribe, comment, review, all the stuff that helps this podcast to reach other people. Tell your friends, reach out to me if there is anything that you have a question about, any advice, any opinions. Like, I want to hear it. If you think I suck, please don't say that. It's not nice, but I am totally open to constructive criticism. Just be kind. Thank you so much for listening, and I cannot wait to share everything that I am working on with you all. Keep changing the world one conversation at a time, and I will see you next time.